You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hey there, buddy. It's Martin Brood here from Hey Kids Comics. Who else we got today?
It's Sam Tweedle.
Chris Gilpin.
And I couldn't help but get a little depressed when I heard Hulk smash.
Yeah.
Because Hulk won't be smashing too much anymore.
Well, we'll get into that.
We'll get into that in a little bit, yeah.
So what have you guys been doing? How are things?
I'm doing good. Chris, you had an exciting week.
Four-day trip to Niagara Falls, both Canadian and the U.S. side. Yeah, had some fun.
Yeah?
Fun, yeah.
Yeah. What's going on in the comic world over in Niagara Falls?
I guess we'll jump right into it then. First stop was I went to Big B and what's the name of the other store, Martin, that's on the strip there from Big B?
I have no idea.
You know, the one that's just closed. Okay. Anyways.
Big B closed?
No, Harry Sully will tell us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just should know the name, but I can't think of it. But every time I go to Niagara Falls, the store is closed.
What happened was the guy had a comic shop, decided to sell it. He sold it to somebody else. They rented the store right beside them.
Okay.
And started opening up the other side and moving stuff over
so
they could be organized and stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a weird store kind of setup because it was closed and then not closed and only open certain hours. And then we went during Niagara Falls Comic Con. He had a booth,
closed.
So he had the store closed. And
yeah.
So it was a bit hard to get in to see him.
Wow.
Yeah, so I finally – and it's a nice store. It's got, some back issues, some newer stuff, and it got some toys and stuff, so it's a good store to stop by.
If it's open.
If it's open, yes.
Oh, I'm sure they've got regular hours by now.
I think so. I was trying to think they were, closed for a few days after the con, too, because they were so tired from shifting boxes around and stuff. Sorry, I'm just trying to find the name so I can give them credit. So when we crossed over to the States, I went to a store that... Christine and I went to, when we were flying down to see my parents, we flew out of Niagara Falls, New York, because it was cheaper. Mm-hmm. So I looked up, of course, you go to city, you look up comic stores. So I went to this place, it's called House of Fantasy. It's not as exciting as it sounds, because it's comics, but I mean, it's comics, it's not what you think. But
That sounds either like a magic shop or a high-priced brothel.
That's right.
Yeah.
Neutral Zone is the name of the comic store in Niagara Falls. So we'll get that out of the way. So stopped by House of Fantasy, and when Christine and I stopped by there like 4 or 5 years ago, I can't remember now, the owner was the one that got me into Invincible because I had never read it before. And he's like, oh, you got to check this out. So he sold me the first two trade paperbacks, and I've been hooked ever since. But it's kind of a neat store in that there's not a lot out front besides new stuff, dollar comics and stuff like, you know. In the back, so the store would be shaped like a rectangle, but the wall where the register is would be cut off about half of the store. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of small out front. But in the back, he has, it must be 6 or 7 rows high of long boxes. And then it goes like 5 or 6 across, and then it shapes into an L the other way, 5 or 6 down. And you ask him for something, and he'll go in the back room, and grab his little ladder, climb up, pull out the long box that he thinks that, like, it's all alphabetical. Yeah. But still, I don't know how he either hasn't had a heart attack or he's like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Because how he climbs up this ladder to pull up these long boxes.
Oh, even I have a hard time doing that, you know? Like, yeah. Like, I have a hard time moving three boxes.
Yeah. I think he's about done, though, because he made a kind of an off comment that if anybody made me a good offer, I'd sell all these comments.
Really? So did you make
him? He's an older gentleman.
Did you make him a good offer?
No. I can imagine his good offer would be thousands and thousands of dollars, because you know, you walk into some stores and they have like a couple boxes or a couple rows of the good stuff. But I think the way he has his is that they're all mixed in alphabetically.
Okay.
So if you're looking for something specific, it's in alphabetical order, and you know, I want something up on that top shelf. Well, I don't know how he does it, but so the next day there was three stores that I had found in the Buffalo, north of Buffalo type area that we decided to do a little road trip, because it's like half an hour away. It's not much. First store we stopped at was not a comic store. It was like this fabric store or something. So we went in. She's like, oh, we just moved in here 2 weeks ago. So I was like, okay, well, that store's closed.
Fabric store?
Well, I guess the comic store had closed. And they had just
used to be a comic book store, and now it was a fabric store.
Yeah, so
you couldn't find like any superhero fabric.
No, she's looking at me going, no. Okay. So we went to the second place, Queen City Comics, or Queen City Books, I think it was called, and it was a good little store too, like a small place, but lots of comics. It's a father son type place. They were like, yeah, we're the longest running comic store around here, and going on like this. Mm-hmm. And I asked them what happened to the other store. He goes, yeah, well, the owner, the father passed away, and the son took it over, and he didn't have the.
Anyway, I wonder what that sounds like.
And, you know, anyways, we'll leave it at that. Yeah. So I got a bunch of stuff there, you know, dollar stuff, new stuff, Civil War III stuff, which I probably shouldn't have bought, but we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah. Grabbed a couple older stuff.
What was your favorite purchase this weekend?
So just to wrap the third store I went to.
Sorry, I'm jumping a little ahead there. Sorry about that.
Well, it's called Collector's Inn. It kind of reminded me of Jeff/Grey Guardian in that it was mostly a gaming store, but they had a lot of new stuff. And in the back room, they had long boxes with older stuff. So it was a good store too. I bought a bunch of stuff there. I found some Uncanny and some Frank Miller Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
Decent prices.
Nice.
Yeah. Nothing really, wow, this is a great deal. Mm-hmm. Just more like, okay, good, I can cross this off my list now. So I think I ended up with almost a short box full of comics between the stores and the flea markets and antique shops that we went to. So
that's great.
Yeah. If anyone is in the St. Catharines area, there's a flea market that Martin had told me about there. And I did find a lot of the flea market was closed. I don't know if it's because of the heat, because it was hot in that place. But there's one vendor there that has two booths and tons of comics, tons of old stuff. I bought an old Fantastic Four, Daredevil giant size number one. I can't remember what it was actually called, but it was like the first annual type thing.
Yeah.
And an old Green Lantern. I mean, he had tons of great stuff there too. A little pricey, but he knocked a few bucks off automatically, so that was all right. Same with Queen City Books, the shop in Buffalo. He was like, oh, that's 28, so let's call it 20, and yeah, that book's 8, so let's call it 5. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was good.
So it was a good little shop. Not a lot of flea market finds, unfortunately, but we had a good time.
Yeah, that's good.
Good
that's
time.
Good. Yeah.
Favorite purchase? I haven't decided yet because I'm still going through rebagging and boarding everything.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a while there for that. Oh, me and Martin, we've read a couple of really good comics this week.
Yeah, and I have a question to Martin about a new comic this week as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's ask that question. What's that?
Nightwing, number one.
Nightwing, number one, yes.
Did you read it?
I did.
Okay.
I have not read it yet.
The Nightwing Rebirth special. It's not the first issue.
Yes.
So it's one of those, I'm going to tie up all the loose ends and sort of try to introduce the concepts that are going to be the next one. And
yes.
I personally felt it was a pretty weak issue.
It was kind of, okay, keep reading, Chris. Keep reading.
Yeah.
Get through it. But my question is, I never read Grayson. I understand that he was some kind of agent 27 or 38 or something
exactly,
like that, right? And Helena Bertinelli was his boss.
That's right, yes.
kind of
or another agent, anyways.
Another agent at the organization, yeah. And then later on became head of the organization. And
okay. But in any capacity, was she...
Huntress?
Huntress.
No.
Okay. So, sorry about the spoilers, but so what we saw in the book was brand new for this, like New 52.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. Because I didn't know.
Now, there is some... again, you know, 47 years old, so the brain doesn't work as well as it used to.
Yeah.
There may have been in the previous Nightwing series, she may have been in costume once or twice. I can't remember.
Because it seemed like a big reveal.
I don't think she was. I think it was Helena Wayne was basically reintroduced as Huntress, right? But what they did is there were so many fans of the other Huntress, the, you know, post... Crisis Huntress that were really upset that they had phased out the character. That was the New 52's cheap way to bring her back. I believe that's what was going on there.
Yeah.
Because I remember when the character first, when they brought back Lena Bertinelli, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they had the world's finest.
Yeah. And that was Lena
Power
Wayne.
Girl. Yeah. But they were from Earth 2.
Earth 2. Yeah.
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 Okay. So this Helena, we think, is the first time that we've seen her.
Yeah, but yeah, when they brought her back, I was very interested because I've always been a fan of that Helena.
Yeah, cause obviously
I read more of her.
She's in Birds of Prey, obviously, yeah, right? We've seen her on the cover, so it's not, I guess, a huge surprise, but I just didn't know if she had been that person before.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of really good Rebirth books. I read last night. I read the first Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns last night, which I really enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah, I did like it. You know, it didn't seem to really come together until near the end. But it was at least one of those things, like, it wasn't the best Rebirth book ever so far, but it made me excited about what comes next.
Yeah, and it's one of those introductory, this is the Rebirth special number one. So again, tie up the loose ends of when he was Han Solo, the bounty hunter, and the rest of the Green Lantern Corps was lost in Nth space or wherever the heck it was they were lost, and now they're coming back together, and somehow he forges his own ring. He's the first Green Lantern to ever forge a ring.
Where'd he pull that from? No. I haven't read it yet.
But the thing is the whole thing is, like, you know what? I don't know where my friends are, and I'm going to go and find them.
Okay.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? But you know who? You know, Marty, you might know the answer to this, too, because you're more of a Green Lantern guy than I am. Whatever happened to Tomar Ray? Tomar Ray was nowhere to be seen in that issue.
No, he got killed.
Is he dead?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was part of the Black Lantern Corps. Or no kidding, is, or was. Or...
Yeah.
Oh, so he's dead.
Yeah, he passed away in one of the... big Green Lantern war stories.
I kind of miss him.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
Yeah, because they were showing all the scenes, like, of all the different Green Lanterns, right? And you go and you pick out, there's, what was that guy's, the Salak? Salak?
That's what I have.
He was in it, and Kilowog's there, there's Chip. But they killed Chip. Didn't they kill Chip? I don't know.
No, he's back.
He's back. Yeah. And Arisia. And
she's
and,
dead.
No, she's there. You're thinking of, Arisia was in the current, in the new Green Lantern book.
You sure?
Yeah, Arisia is the one with this pointed Spock ears. I think you're thinking of.
I was thinking his old girlfriend, the yellow skinned
girl. Yeah. She's alive.
I'm sure that's her sister or something.
Oh, is it?
I think so.
See, I can't keep it all straight.
It's kind of convoluted, and I'm hoping that when the book actually comes out, it's a bit more coherent. But that was most definitely not the best comic book I read.
Wasn't. I agree. What was? I know what it is, and I'm so excited about this.
So go ahead, say it.
Yo, you say it.
No, you say it.
No,
you say it. No, you say it.
You were the first
I'd say
person,
it if I knew, but
you
I
were the
know.
First person to get excited about
you
it.
Say
and
it.
You, your excitement, because I wasn't excited at all, and your excitement grew on me, and you ended up being right. So this is your baby.
Oh, please, somebody just say it.
Flintstones number one.
No.
Stop it.
I don't want to read the John Goodman Flintstone book.
Go ahead, you say it.
New Superman.
There you go.
New Superman. Now, let me tell you, when I first heard of the concept of New Superman, I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. What the heck? I still do believe that it's a really stupid title for the book.
Yeah.
But New Superman completely blew away all my expectations, and it is so unbelievably good. It was such a great first issue. It's not exactly the kind of character I expected the character to be at all.
No, not at all. And I kind of liked, again, we won't get into too many spoilers, but basically this is, for lack of better terminology, Chinese Superman.
Yeah.
So basically... the Chinese government has decided that America has their little superpower group, the Justice League, and they want to have their own. So the scientists go out and create this Superman character. So mm-hmm. they find a willing subject, they transform him into Superman, he has all of Superman's powers. So he is new Superman.
Right.
Yes.
Super-Man.
But I think what really interested me on this, what I thought was so great about this, is that the character himself is not the most heroic character.
No.
And that's one thing that I really loved about it. And in fact, it was the kind of character that, if I knew him in real life, I wouldn't like him.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, what I really liked is towards the end of the book where they came back and kind of explained that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
That was kind of neat. That but again, neat. You know, too many spoilers and stuff. Go read it. It's a good book.
But it's is it? But I totally expected it would be the bomb of the new.
I easily thought it just beat the snot out of Nightwing and Hal Jordan as far as books go. I didn't grab Wonder Woman number 2.
Ah.
But New Superman definitely blew those two other books out of the
way. Now, let me say something about Wonder Woman number 2. I read that last night. Wonder Woman number 2 should have been Wonder Woman number 1.
Well,
it was head and shoulders better than the actual Wonder Woman number 1.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but like it's a bi-monthly book or twice monthly because there's some debate on what bi-monthly means. stupid Romans not, you know, being more specific. So it comes out twice a month. And my understanding is, unlike some of the other titles, the Wonder Woman title is going to be telling two parallel stories.
That's
so
right.
Is issue 2 the first issue of that secondary story?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But it's also, they're kind of doing a retelling of the Wonder Woman origin. They're sort of making it, but it's sort of a parallel of, this is what Wonder Woman's early life is, and this is what was going on in Steve Trevor's life at the same time.
Now, I got to admit that's the one book that I think is kind of missing the boat as far as the whole bi-monthly schedule thing. By telling two different stories, you're basically... This is Superman and Action Comics and Man of Steel and Adventures of Superman, you know, and telling different stories. Yep. It should be a bit more coherent. I'm not sure I like the idea of the two separate stories.
I agree with you. And I think what you're going to find is you're going to find the good storyline and the bad storyline. And I think the second storyline is going to be the winner, why the first storyline is going to be the stinker. And that's why they really, like I read the first issue of Wonder Woman, the first part of the first storyline. And I had no idea what was going on. It made no sense to me. The art was beautiful, but the story was like, what is this? And then, meanwhile, the second storyline, which is number 2, I know already it's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're already confused. Yeah. But I think the second issue really should have been the first issue. I think more people would be excited about Wonder Woman if it had been.
Now, the other trick question I got for you, not to sidetrack too much, Dan Parent, Fernando Ruiz, doing some awesome Die Kitty Die variants.
Yeah.
Are they available? Because I understand Wonder Woman needs a variant cover artist.
But don't draw too sexy, though.
So, you know, we're giggling, but Frank Cho was drawing Wonder Woman variant covers, and he recently had, for lack of better terminology, a little bit of a social media hissy fit and basically said, I quit. Greg Rucka, who is the writer who's kind of steering the Wonder Woman ship, hey, the two of them are not seeing eye to eye. Greg's got a lot of editorial power because, like I said, he's like the showrunner for this book. And I guess there's been some debate and stuff. So they showed the cover that Greg Rucka censored versus the original sketch. Did you see it, Chris?
No, I didn't. I didn't realize they did that.
Basically, all it is I guess Frank showed a little rump underneath the Wonder Woman armor. Now, if you look at the model, like the model sheets for the character, this is on model. This is accurate. This is what she would look like if she bent over in that particular shape.
Right.
So they kind of cropped it out a bit.
So it's not like the Spider-Woman one where...
Not like the Spider-Woman one.
Yeah.
So what they basically did was they just blew up the image a little bit. So that little piece of tush is outside the frame, not on the comic. And Frank had a bird. Now, maybe it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Maybe, you know, other things were driving him nuts about it. So he's out.
Now, I've met Frank Cho, and I'm a huge fan of Frank Cho's work.
Yeah.
And I've been following him ever since his first comic strip, which was called Liberty Squared, which was a newspaper. No, it wasn't a newspaper strip, but it was a strip in a student newspaper. I think it was at Berkeley?
Yeah.
And I've been following Cho's work ever since. And Frank Cho is the master of the butt. But unfortunately, he is also infamous of being censored, of having people go after him.
Because you have to admit, he does draw good girl art, right?
Yes,
he does. Yeah. And the other thing that he does, I mean, even in the Liberty Meadows book, right? Mm-hmm. He draws the ladies a little bit more muscular, more voluptuous, more You know, well, it depends. I mean, well, you know, I'm sure you could see these gals at Good Life Fitness, but you don't see too many of them at the grocery store, right?
But
he doesn't draw the stereotypical super thin stick legs, big bosom. This is a large athletic girl right from the get-go.
But you know, Frank Cho had a, even though he won awards, publishing awards for Liberty Meadows in the newspapers, he quit the strip because of the amount of censorship that he was getting put through for the Tribune. I think if Frank Cho's a little offended by people censoring his work, I don't blame it. It's been happening for years, and it's mindless. It's crazy. It shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear a really fun Frank Cho story?
Sure, why not?
You will like the story.
Outrage!
Especially. Frank Cho tells this story about how when he was doing Liberty Squared for the Berkeley paper, he received a cease and desist letter from Charles Schulz's people because he was doing a Charlie Brown parody, okay, in the strip. Because he does parody, in those strips, he used to parody a lot of... different comic strips. It wasn't the last time he got sued. He actually had a big feud with Kathy. I can't think of her last name. You know the comic character Kathy.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he did this storyline where Kathy, basically he drew Kathy in it, and she was having like a fatal attraction type stalker thing with one of the characters, and he got sued. Right. Mm. So he used to actually bring her in every now and then with like the black bar across her eyes. But anyways. So anyways, he got this cease and desist letter from Charles Schulz. This is people saying, you know, you need to stop using our characters in your strip. Well, it was accompanied by a handwritten note by Charles Schulz himself telling him that his work was dirty and vile and he was talentless and would never make it as a cartoonist. Do you know when Frank Cho told that story to the public?
Mm.
As he was receiving the Charles Schulz Award for cartooning.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Of course, this was after Schulz's death, right?
Yeah.
So I always thought that was...
And not a story you'd want to admit to before you got the award.
Right? Yeah, but he actually said it as receiving the award on the podium.
Has this been engraved? Okay, let me tell you this story.
But he actually had the letter with him, and he read the letter on the podium that Schulz had written to him as he was accepting the Charles Schulz Award.
Nice.
No, Schulz, for being a master, and I know Marty's not a big fan of Schulz, but...
I don't mind him.
But
he just drew a funny paper book.
Yeah, but Schulz did... could be a little bit of a tyrant. He had a cruel streak for certain.
Well, the other thing is he's from a different era, right?
Yeah.
And he was drawing comic strips in newspapers that kids were reading and stuff like this. So, you know, he was definitely of that comics are for kids mentality. Mm-hmm. So,
you know. He's also the person who termed happiness as a new stack of comics.
There you go.
That was a Schulz quote. So.
There you go.
So just back to Rebirth for a second.
Yes.
If anybody is in the Kitchener area, I went to the Comic Warehouse, which I learned, as a side note, isn't their official name. It's actually, they call it the Comic Book Warehouse of Love. But anyways, that's a side note. I'll get to it. Yeah. They have a box. I went in there hoping to find some Rebirth, and they had a long box full of every single issue, first print, like, it was, and it's like $4 each.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And these guys are selling them on eBay for 12 and 16. Like, it was like, yeah, I'll take that. Because I passed on Action and Detective. Oh. So they were in there. So I grabbed them, right?
And I really wish I hadn't passed on those Superman books. Mm. They keep getting better and better. Am I wrong?
Well, I'm reading Superman. Superman's pretty good. I skipped Action and Detective favor of Batman and Superman.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't read them yet, but you know.
Batman and Detective wasn't doing too much for me, but Action Superman, I'm definitely, and then this new Superman, and I'm going to be reading the Superwoman book now, because that was another book that didn't interest me, but now that, because these Superman books are hitting it out of the park,
I'm going to pick up the first issue and try it, but I don't have big expectations for Lois Lane as Superman. I mean, it smacks too much of when Superman died. Right, you had the Eradicator, you had Superboy, you had the Robot Superman, you had African American covered in armor, steel Superman, and all this sort of stuff. Right, so now all of a sudden we've got a Chinese Superman. We got Lois Lane as Superman. We got Lex Luthor as Superman. We got old Superman as new Superman. We got Superboy coming back. It's like,
I haven't read too much, but I'm assuming it's Lois Lane, New 52.
Yes. It's the New 52. Okay. Lois Lane gets the powers. And it's kind of funny because recently they showed a cover because the October solicitations for DC got leaked. And there's a there's an image there of old Lois Lane, right? The pre-Flashpoint Lois Lane. Because in case people don't know, the current Superman is the pre-Flashpoint Superman. He's from back, like the Rift time leaked through. If you're a Doctor Who fan, you can understand how this happens. If your favorite TV show is Dallas, you're scratching your head going, what?
Yeah.
It wasn't a dream? So there's a picture of her taking back the Lois the Reporter role.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden everybody's like, okay, so if an older Superman shows up in the costume, they'll say, okay, that's a different Superman. But if an older Lois Lane suddenly shows up at the Daily Planet, somebody's going to notice.
Right.
Somebody's going to at least look at her and say, gee, Lois, you look a little tired. Maybe you need a facelift or something.
No, you know, I love the dream idea, and I'd like to think that, that the New 52 was just, what was that character, the Pariah?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the Pariah had, like, a really, like pizza with the anchovies one night, and then he went to sleep, and he had, like, a nightmare, and that was the New 52.
Well, so far, from what I've seen, they're kind of doing a pretty decent job of transitioning over to this different cast, right?
They really
seems
are.
To be, you know, Bruce Wayne is still the original Batman. Everything that happened in New 52 still happened. Hal Jordan's still the New 52. Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern still are, you know, so they're, it's making sense. It's not like they're just saying, somebody went back in time, saved his mom, and everything's different.
Well, you know, but then they do bring in stuff. Like the whole thing with Wally West has just been so well done.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but then we got something like the Green Arrow book, which they've kept. Now, one thing I'd like you to discuss this, because this was a brilliant point you put on the internet this week, was the difference between the Arrow, Green Arrow, the New 52 Arrow, and the current Green Arrow. And
so
I
there
love
was,
this analogy.
There's a little bit of a debate on the book face about Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and why everybody was upset about the New 52 version of Green Arrow. And Green Arrow's got a bit of a long history. The Golden Age Green Arrow was sort of like a Batman clone. But then in the 60s, we know that, was it Denny O'Neil as well as Neil Adams? Or?
Denny O'Neil wrote this book, Neil Adams drew it.
So they revamped Green Arrow, Oliver Queen, into this more liberal character. Like, you gotta remember, it's the 60s, so if you're short on your history, he was basically a social justice warrior back in the day when it was relevant and it meant something, you know? Mm-hmm. We still had blacks drinking out of separate water fountains. We had, you know, people racist against the Irish and the Jewish situation and stuff like that.
You
so
know,
they're not great now. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything's perfect now, but they were worse in the 60s. So he was, you know, championing the poor, the colored, the various different, I say the word
injustice.
Colored because that was the word in the book back in the 60s. You know, he specifically stands there and there's a black fellow saying, you know, you helped the green man, you've helped the yellow man, meaning other alien races. What have you done for the colored man? Right? Like, what have you done for the black man here? So it was a very pronounced, almost a very anti-child book. Because it was very much a more grown-up look at him. So that was the kind of like the Green Arrow that we grew up on reading was this, you know, I need to help and save the people and stuff like this.
And he was extremely liberal, extremely hot-headed, angry.
Yeah, he flew off the handle easily, very emotional.
Yeah, he wore his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah, exactly. So that was that was sort of the character that we grew
and
up
another
with.
Another thing, if you read those Denny O'Neil and Neil Adams books, if you ever noticed, there was Neil Adams drew Green Arrow crying a lot.
Yeah,
like he was a cry, even though he was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sad." It was more like he was a tough, angry man. He was stoic. He was a man, but he was a man who had so much emotion that he often cried in the actual book, which was always quite power. It was always a powerful moment in that book is when Green Arrow would cry.
So in the New 52, they came out with Green Arrow, and And this is a little bit of another debate that we could talk about later, but I'm really against changing the fundamental nature of a character that's 30 or 40 years old.
Yeah, I agree.
If you want to introduce a new character with new attributes that you're looking for to be a little bit more inclusive, that's awesome. But don't mess with an existing character too much. I mean, you got to keep it fresh. But fundamentally, this new Green Arrow didn't resemble and didn't act and didn't behave in any way, shape, or form that Green Arrow had been behaving in for the last 50 years.
What made him such a powerful fan favorite.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't the same guy. So somebody asked me, you know, what was wrong with the new 52 Green Arrow? And I kind of flippantly said, it's like a lumbersexual hipster. They look like a lumberjack. They smell like a lumberjack. They walk and talk like a lumberjack. But they probably couldn't operate a fancy tree-cutting saw if their life depended on it. So all the elements were there, but it didn't ring true. It was artificial. Now, the New 52 Green Arrow stories themselves, there were some pretty good runs there. They were okay stories.
Yeah,
it's just that the guy wasn't who we were expecting.
But the new one?
The new one, on the other hand.
The latest issue of Green Arrow, have you read it?
No.
I know how many more.
I got it.
Like, we're only one special and two issues in, and all of a sudden, everybody who was a hardcore Green Arrow fan is excited again.
Oh, my God. The last issue was... Basically, what they did is they took the first 2 to 3 pages of the Brave and the Bold issue that reintroduced Green Arrow not to be a Batman.
Yeah, in the 60s.
Literally took that the first 2 to 3 pages and put it into a whole book. They made a whole book out of it. Almost made that basically what the concept that when Neil Adams and Danny O'Neill took over the character of Green Arrow, and they turned him. He was just basically a Batman clone. He was this rich guy that had a big company. He had a
sidekick, had an arrow cave, had an arrow car,
gadgets. Yeah.
He was basically, instead of having a utility belt, he had a quiver full of toys.
Yeah, and now those first 2 to 3 pages, it was Brave and the Bold number 75, I think?
Something like that. 74, 75, 79.
Something like that.
In
the first 2 to 3 pages, he loses his entire fortune and is living in a slum. Because he's had everything taken away from him, just like the book of Job. The story of Job in the Bible. That's literally what it was. And they basically wrote as an entire issue. And it's number 3 we're at now, isn't it?
Well, the Rebirth special.
Okay.
Right? So Rebirth, like Green Arrow, Rebirth number 1. Yeah. That, like I said, tied up all the loose ends where he was a werewolf. I know it sounds weird.
And I didn't mind the werewolf story.
That's what I mean. Like, those new 52 stories were actually pretty good.
Pretty good.
They were just the wrong person was in
there. Yeah, it was the wrong kind of story for the
wrong character. Where they tied that up and they kind of introduced the new status quo. Yeah. Then there's Green Arrow number 1 and Green Arrow number 2. Because that's confusing a lot of people.
I think it was Green Arrow number 3.
I think there's just 2, but I could be mistaken.
I think it might be 3. Anyways, epic story.
Yeah, yeah.
When he has his whole world taken away from him, it was like so good. Yeah. So good. So good.
It was pretty awesome.
So in Green Arrow, the iconic moment where he goes and shaves his beard.
Yeah, yeah.
Comes out. In Green Lantern, this last I saw Hal, he was like wavy hair.
Yes, he had long.
So in this week's issue, does he go into the bathroom and cut his hair and come out?
He doesn't go into the bathroom. He's in his little crystal enclosure where he forges his new ring. And then when he comes out, he's in his traditional Green Arrow costume, I'll bet a little shinier than before. And he's got the ring. And
his hair's all zzz.
Like, I stopped reading the Green Lantern core and the Green Lantern in the new 52. So I missed the last 7 or 8 too. Issues. So I wasn't quite sure, like, the whole gauntlet, like, instead of having a ring, he had a glove.
What the hell's that about?
Well, it was like one of the Guardians gloves, or it was a glove forged from the battery of I just didn't read it.
I was a huge Green Lantern fan.
And they basically turned him into a spacefaring bounty hunter. Yeah. They even gave him a Chewbacca-like character that could talk a little bit more than Chewbacca, but he had a sidekick.
Was it Gnort or whatever his name is?
And away they went. So
I don't know. I you know what? I could go on forever about how much I absolutely despised and hated the new 52, but we've already been there.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about Marvel now. We got the magazines. This is, I think, one of the biggest comic book news this week was these the new Marvel books.
Marvel comes out with their new Marvel Now previews book, and it's kind of like when New 52 came out. When Rebirth came out, they kind of introduced, this is what we're going, this is the direction, these are some of the titles. So everything's getting a new number one almost again.
About half and half.
Yeah, I'd say half.
Well, it's a little bit more than half, but we won't get technical. And the titles that aren't being renumbered are being ended.
Right.
So Guardians of the Galaxy is at, what is it, issue 12 or something like this? But it's setting up the final arc of that story. So it will be getting a number one before the end of the year.
Right.
So that's Marvel switching to this sort of yearly season model. And so instead of having an ongoing title with 300 some odd issues, we've got this great story arc. We're going to contain it all in one volume. And then when something else comes up, we're going to start it up again with the new number one. So that seems to be the way they're going.
Now, as much as I've been loving Civil War, it is Civil War, not Secret Wars, right, guys? Okay, Civil War.
Enjoying it so much you can't remember what it's called. Right. Because Marvel's done it so many times.
I am loving Civil War. I am really loving it. But I do find I was a little underwhelmed by a lot of, like, there's all these new Avenger books, and they all look pretty stupid to me.
Well, the old Avengers books look pretty stupid. How many were there? There was Young Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, Purple Avengers, Yellow Avengers. So now
we got, like, West Coast Avengers.
Well, they've got
Great Lakes.
Avengers, Great Lakes Avengers.
Just going through the book.
American Avengers.
Through the book page by page, right?
Like, let's start with
Young Avengers are now called the Champions. Mm-hmm. Because there's been some sort of a trademark resolution there with the role-playing game guys that releases comics as well. So Marvel gets to use the Champions name again. So the Young Avengers are now the Champions. And that's Young Cyclops, Miss Marvel, Young Nova, Amadeus Cho Hulk, Miles Morales, Spider-Man, and the Vision's daughter. So basically the Marvel version of the Teen Titans, you know, so all the younger crowd. Then we got Occupy Avengers. What is that?
Wait, let's go back. I'm not collecting much Marvel, but Mark Waid and Humberto Ramos being the creative team on that Champions, that intrigues me.
I love Mark Waid. He's a great writer, and I'm enjoying, even I got to admit, I like the Mark Waid Archie book.
Now, I see Mark Waid's name a lot here when it comes to the Avengers, because he's doing the Avengers number one as well.
Yeah, I don't know what Occupy Avengers is.
Yeah, Occupy Avengers, it basically has Hawkeye in front of a bunch of regular citizens. So I'm not sure what that book's about. Mm-hmm. But do we want comic books to get political?
No.
We want them to be topical, but do we want them to actually go down the political avenue?
Well,
that said,
Avengers number one, right? Uncanny Avengers 15, and again, it says that, you know, it's going rogue. It's ending its arc soon. U.S. Avengers.
That looks like the worst book in the entire catalog. And
U.S. Avengers.
Despite one of my favorite Marvel characters is right on the front, Squirrel Girl, and even I think that looks terrible.
I mean, we got
Squirrel Girl.
I can't even.
Who is that saluting? Is that X-Man? It kind of looks like young.
I don't know.
With the little white tuft.
I don't know.
I didn't notice.
I'm so out of Marvel. Like, I mean, I can see General Ross, Red Hulk is here. I have no idea who this white android is. I'm not sure who's in the Iron Patriot armor.
I just noticed Cannonball up there.
Cannonball's up there. This female Captain America, is she? She's not from the Young Avengers?
Yeah, she's from the Young Avengers.
Because I thought the Captain America character in the Young Avengers was a boy.
He was.
And this is a girl.
She is.
Yeah. Isn't her name like American Dream or something like that?
I have no idea. Anyways, then we got the Ultimates Squared, which is Captain Marvel and who else do I see here? Black Panther, and I don't recognize the other two characters. Isn't the one fellow here on the right-hand side, wasn't he in, the Ultimates last book?
I never read any Ultimates books, to tell you the honest truth.
So let me
ask you a question. There are some books that are being released that I am excited about.
Well, we're getting to them.
Let's just be clear. Like, the Ultimates was a separate universe.
It is not now.
So they've decided to put out another Ultimates title, even though it's in our...
Well, they did the last Marvel Now. It was in our continuity, in the Marvel 616 universe. Because after the Secret Wars, where everything got merged.
Yeah. No, yeah, I just...
Then we got Great Lakes Avengers number one, which should be like a comedy book, but I don't know how well that's going to go. Squadron Supreme is finishing up, Thunderbolts, whatever. And then we got Invincible Iron Man number one.
Right.
Should this not be called Invincible Iron Girl?
Well, if you flip to page 3 of this book, I believe that's... Is this her in her new armor?
Yeah.
All gray?
Right. So everybody who's on Bookface and all the other places knows about Riri Williams is a 15-year-old genius who reverse engineers the Tony Stark technology, and she's going to be the new Iron Man. Infamous Iron Man, which is
Doctor Doom.
As... Now, the other thing is, it's Alex Malvi doing the art. He's a painter. This book is going to be late. This book will be chronically late.
Look at the writer.
it's going to be like with Adam Hughes.
Going to be chronically late. As nice as his stuff is.
This is a book I'm really looking forward to.
We got Captain Marvel number one.
The new Hawkeye.
We expected that to be redone. Hawkeye number one, looking like an Archie comic.
So excited about this. Now, here's the thing.
You're the only person excited about these girl titles.
Now, this is the thing is, I've been reading...
I've known girls that aren't excited about it.
But what I'm basically saying is, I've been reading the Hawkeye book since they started to giving Hawkeye his own book when it was... who was writing it? I can't think.
Matt Fraction.
I've been reading the Hawkeye books. Now, Kate Bishop was a character I had no exposure to, and I didn't know anything about her. But as I've been reading the Hawkeye books, Kate, in the other Hawkeye books, it's been kind of like half Clint Barton, half Kate Bishop.
And she was originally in the Young Avengers.
I do realize that, but I never read any of those.
You should. They were great.
But as the series has progressed, as much as I love Clint Barton, Kate Bishop has more and more has captured a piece of my heart into the point of the last series were some of the best Kate Bishop books I ever read. Now they're basically making her the star of the series, and I'm all on board, 100%. Now I still love, and I'm sure that they'll eventually bring Clint back into the book. You know, it's eventually going to happen.
And there's probably a reason why he's not, which we may get
in a little bit.
Which confuses me about the Occupy Avengers.
Yeah.
But so remind me, is she related to him or
no? She's not. Basically,
she is related to one of the giant men. Okay. If I recall correctly.
Yeah, her father's like a former gangster. And when Clint was quote-unquote dead, that's when she took over. And they didn't really become a partnership. She's not really a
But her father was like Giant Man for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
So she basically, they're not really partners. It's not like kind of a sidekick mentor deal. It's almost like they're both Hawkeyes, but they sort of team up and they have like a...
Now the Matt Fraction series was brilliant.
It was fantastic.
It was great.
But I love
But you got to admit that one of the reasons why the Matt Fraction series was so good was that it was very unsuperhero-ish. Sure. It was just these two people hanging out in an apartment building against Russian mobsters. It was hilarious.
But the thing about Kate Bishop is the only healthy relationship that Clint Barton has with a woman. Probably because she's old enough to be his daughter.
Is the dog a girl or is the dog a boy? He gets along well with the dog.
The dog's a boy. All right. Lucky.
So anyways, Sam's excited about that.
Yeah.
Then we got Captain America Sam Wilson, number 14. Captain America Steve Rogers, number 7. Yay. Silver Surfer. I'm surprised this is still going on.
Silver Surfer was just nominated for 4 Eisners.
Yeah, the first series, not the second series.
No. That just got nominated for 4 Eisners.
The first series?
No, the new series has too.
How is that possible?
Or is it Harvey's?
Oh, not, don't even get me started on the Harveys.
No, don't get him started on Harveys. We've already had that conversation this week.
Wait, let's do a head count. I'm up to 3 Captain Americas now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, just checking.
Black Panther, number 7. That's pretty good. Jessica Jones, number 1. There's a lot of people excited about this.
I'm excited about that.
I mean...
And The Wasp. I'm going to be buying a new Wasp book.
Bendis.
Talking about interrupting. We're not on that page yet. We're on this page.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You did the same thing with there, and then you gave me trouble.
All right,
so next generation Wasp.
Where's that microphone switch here?
The next generation the unstable Wasp. Stop.
Now, do you know anything about this Wasp?
Like, no, who but is I'm she looking and... forward to learning all about her. I like the costume. I like the look. I like the...
Definitely not like, Janet.
What does she come from?
The new Ant-Man series.
There you go.
The cover artist, like this image, she's not the regular artist.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that's like having a cover band. It's like having a cover band doing your first single and then somebody else doing the entire inside. Doctor Strange and Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme. Now that Sorcerer Supreme, I'm not sure if this is this the cast that was in the bar with him all the time that he was always drinking with, Brother Voodoo and
yeah, basically it's the team that he's with right now doing the Death of Magic.
Because none of these people here look like them.
Well, isn't that Brother Voodoo on the left?
No, this guy's got a Fu Manchu.
Well, I don't know.
So,
I
and this guy looks like an elemental. What's his name? Kalibak or Kabak or... Oh, anyways.
Two Doctor Strange books.
Mighty Thor number 15, right?
Right.
So Jane Foster continues as the Thor. And then so the Unworthy Thor number 1.
Also known as Odin's Son.
So let me get this straight. We cannot have two issues a month at DC because that's going to implode and it's going to be a disaster. But we can have two Thor books.
And two Doctor Captain Strange. America
books. Two Doctor Strange books.
And 15 Avenger books.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And it just goes on. Your Patsy Walker still trucking along?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that that's still kicking.
Now, is that still the same art team?
It sure is.
Awesome. Yeah. That's good. Black Widow number 7. I've heard a lot of people saying that's really good. I unfortunately am not reading it. Moon Knight. Moon Knight is one of those characters that every time a Moon Knight title comes out, I buy the first three issues and then stop because I really want it to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it rarely is.
Well, who did it? Was it Finch that drew it there?
Finch did the one reboot, and the art was amazing.
Oh, yeah. That was just crazy.
Your Unbeatable Squirrel Girl's continuing. That's awesome. Punisher and Daredevil have, you know, keep going. Now all of a sudden we get into the really interesting stuff. I mean, that stuff was pretty neat, but all of a sudden villains are getting the spotlight.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm interested to see the Kingpin book. I like what the stuff they're doing with the Kingpin.
Kingpin number 1?
I'm interested. The stuff they're doing with Kingpin and Civil War is really interesting.
I'm sure this will like feed off of that.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm definitely curious to see what they do with that.
Bullseye number 1 by our very own Canadian Ed Bryson doing the writing. That's reason enough to buy that. Don't even worry about the rest. Just buy it. Power Man and Iron Fist is continuing. Well, that seems to be pretty solid.
Oh, two Iron Fists.
I really love the latest issue of that came out this week. It was really fun.
And then Iron Fist's number 1. So it looks like Iron Fist gets a Robin, and he's going to teach her everything. Totally awesome. Hulk is still continuing. So Hulk is in the one Avengers book and this book. Unbelievable Gwenpool, blah, 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 Uncanny Inhumans. Mosaic, what is this? I know nothing about this.
I see a Hero Spider-Man.
With a thousand faces. I have no idea who this Mosaic character is. Is he in Civil War?
You know what, though? I don't want to mean to interrupt, but in the middle of them releasing all this these new titles, DC released a few new titles in the to try to take the edge off. I don't know if
we
that
can
works,
we can keep going through this book because it's like Star Lord number 1, Thanos
number 1.
We're
going to get into
one,
we haven't even touched on the Spider-Man.
Prowler number 1, the Spider-Man. There is no X-Men.
Okay,
Fool Killer number 1.
Fool Killer slapstick.
Let's go back to Cage number 1, and please tell me, like. What is that artwork?
Okay, Tartovsky was supposed to do a Cage miniseries.
Why is his head so small?
He was supposed to do a Cage miniseries forever, and they've had it on the books that they was going to do it. I'm assuming some issues were written. Well, this is finally it.
His head looks about the size of an acorn.
Well, it looks like what's it? Not Johnny Bravo. What cartoon am I thinking?
Yeah, Johnny Bravo.
No, I'm thinking the kid, Dexter's Laboratory.
Oh, yeah.
So he's a writer and the artist and all that.
Yeah.
That's going to be on.
So that's for sure a miniseries. Like, I'm sure there's a set arc of X number of issues and that's it. And then, of course, you know, everybody gets a number 1.
Every single member of
Star-Lord,
the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon, Gamora, blah, blah, blah.
There's a bunch of books.
Prowler gets an issue. You know, anyways. So that's Marvel. Fool Killer gets a number 1. Deadpool continues.
Well,
Slapstick.
Slapstick.
I think DC should have let off with Ambush Bug.
There you go.
You know what, though? As we're, you know, we don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah, and, so let's go to the DC ones.
Well, not the DC one, but the biggest news of the week we haven't even touched. And we just did Marvel. And that is, of course, Civil War.
Hulk dead.
Basically, in the first issue of Civil War, I thought it'd be the big death was when they killed off War Machine.
I had no idea.
There's going to be some Civil War spoilers here, people.
They killed off War Machine, and that's what actually.
Yeah, Sam can't contain himself, so there's going to be some Civil War spoilers. So if you haven't read Civil War, War Machine's dead.
Right. So, and I figured that was going to be the motivation.
Isn't She-Hulk? She's comish.
But basically, what they did is,
or as dead as you get in Marvel.
The latest issue is they've taken out Bruce Banner's Hulk.
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner's dead. Yeah.
Which in turn means the Hulk. Yeah.
Right. And of course, I'm reading this, and usually when they kill off a character like that in a crossover, it's just for shock value. Let's face it, it's just shock for headlines. Oh, yeah. This book, this death was so well written, so well executed. It had meaning. It had purpose. It had controversy. It's the defining moment that we've already had all this tension between the two, the heroes. But it was one of the, I would say one of the most relevant, well-written comic book deaths in at least 20 years.
Now, was it a death or was it suicide by arrow?
It was suicide. But that's where we come into it, right? Yeah. Like that's kind of like where, like.
Basically what happens is Bruce Banner makes a pact with Hawkeye that should he start to Hulk out, because the Hulk's been so uncontrollable lately, Barton's supposed to take him out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
So basically Ulysses has a vision that Hulk will Hulk out and he will kill all the heroes. And the heroes go to confront, and was able to put that vision in all the heroes' heads. So all the heroes go to confront Bruce Banner, and they're all there. And all of a sudden you see Bruce, it looks like he's about to Hulk out, and Barton kills him, right? Which is the suicide pact.
Right.
But was he going to Hulk out? Was he not? If he did, that vision would have came true, and everybody would have been dead, right? So is Clint Barton the, is he a hero?
The savior or the murderer?
Exactly. Well, then
that's kind of like Minority Report, right? Can you really charge somebody for a crime if they haven't actually committed
exactly.
it? So did Barton do something good, or did he do something preemptively bad?
So the entire issue was the trial of Clint Barton.
Was there huge potholes like the Minority Report? Sorry.
So, it's really the trial of Clint Barton, right?
Yeah,
And that's the way the issue is written. And at the end, it goes to show the verdict, and of course, that's where the cliffhanger is, right? And it was so well written because even you, as a reader,
you don't know.
Well, but you're also so torn on what your opinion's going to be, right? Because you can see both. And this is what I really like about the Civil War is you can kind of see Iron Man's... It's really sort of the story between the battle between Iron Man and Captain Marvel. And you can so see each side of it. Like, you can understand...
Well, why wasn't it Captain America and Iron Man?
Well, because Captain America's a Hydra agent.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Right. So, but you can really see the two sides of it. And it's so hard to decipher. And you can see Clint Barton's, side of it. You can see all the sides, but... As a reader, you're so torn. The writing on this book is just solid, and I'm not used to crossover books being solid. Usually they're just junk.
Are you just reading the main series or the 20 crossovers?
I'm reading 20 crossovers, too, and I'm all caught up.
Oh, wow.
And
Sam uses the word solid like I use the word fun.
I'm still not going to buy it.
Fair enough. But I do, like when I first heard they were killing off Bruce Banner, I was like, oh, really? That sucks. But when I read it, I was like, that was truly epic. And I do think that the death of the Hulk is probably, Bruce Banner is just as important as the death of Barry Allen was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, I put it on that level of importance.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
They're going to bring him back anyway.
Obviously, they printed off this catalog to show you what's going to be the result.
Mm. I am surprised. And to be in all seriousness, when is this, when are these books due? This October?
October. Some of them might be a little later.
I am shocked that there's not a new Bruce Banner Hulk comic in this book. Because that's what Marvel does.
They'll bring him back eventually, right? But I think they're going to keep him dead for a while.
Maybe.
They won't keep him dead like Uncle Ben dead.
Now, one thing that everybody knows about the catalog is there's no mention of X-Men.
Yeah,
so are the X-Men doing something weird in Civil War, or is this that whole Death of X, Dead No More that's coming?
I'm sorry, but...
So that's coming in the next couple of months before October. Because that's going to cancel all the X-Men books. So that's another... big momentous.
Can anybody honestly believe a Marvel universe?
Well, no, they'll come back.
Of course.
Nightcrawler took a robot arm to the chest and died.
There you go.
I almost cried. And then
he's back.
That quote, I mean, I don't know if it was Bendis, I don't know who it was, but he was taking over the X-Men books, and the interviewer said, well, what about, it's too bad you don't have Nightcrawler. He says, well, that doesn't matter to me. If I want to put Nightcrawler in my book, I'll just bring him back. And it was like, all right, this is it. This is the beginning of the end.
Well, it's getting to be a bit meaningless. Like Batman dies, Superman dies, all these DC, all these Marvel characters die, and then they all get brought back, and you know that they're coming back. So it kind of cheapens the narrative if you're a continuity freak. If you're able to detach yourself from continuity.
But I love when a character that you don't expect, like one of the things that excites me about the new Titans book is that they brought Lilith Clay back. And they killed her really cheaply back in the 90s with Judd Winnick killed her
off. Yeah, but that's the thing. She's been dead for 25 years and then gets brought back. You know these guys are coming back.
But the thing is,
yeah,
I give it a year. But what was exciting for me was the fact that she was such a minor character that they didn't need to bring her back. Nobody needed to bring her back. And when they did, it was like, oh my God, somebody understands, right? But I don't know. I think the death of the Hulk might be a little bit different in some of these because it was meaningful for the entire universe. As I said, I put it on par with the Barry Allen death. Which, of course, they brought back
and cheapened the snot out of it and destroyed Wally West's heritage and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Anyways, to distract Sam from constantly going on about Marvel since Chris and I are DC guys now.
What's that?
How about, you know that I how about your two guys, Dan Parents and Fernando Ruiz, are going to be doing a full month of Halloween-themed Die Kitty Die variant covers for all the Chapter House books.
That's right. They're awesome. Especially, I really love the Captain Canuck.
This is where Chris says, what Chapter House books? Chapter House hasn't been putting out books.
Well, I was going to say, as long as they don't get canceled, but I wasn't going to say it.
So, like, Chapter House, you know, they've had a few bumps in the road, some publishing snafus and some scheduling snafus, so they're regrouping, and the core titles are going to be released. Some of the reprint books have been canceled, but Northgard's coming out, Captain Canuck's coming out, Die Kitty Die's definitely coming out, Pitiful Human Lizard's coming out. The other books that they have, like Fourth Planet and Love, Death, and Sorcery and Spirit Leaves, I've gone to a quarterly schedule to give the artists enough time to actually come out with, you know, good quality work. Because those are kind of independent books done by one person, right?
And so, I would rather see a publisher like Chapter House say, okay, we're getting out of control. We got to rein things in a bit. Yeah. I'd rather see them
give
do
us,
that.
Exactly.
Than
give us
die.
A few minutes to like fix it and you know take it easy. But in October.
Otherwise, you just end up like Aftershock.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is quickly dying.
Yeah, which is a shame because those books are great.
Yeah.
But just to get back on the variant cover, so we've got a Halloween themed Die Kitty Die cover for Pitiful Human Lizard, Northgard, Captain Canuck.
There's multiple.
And what's the other one? Because there was four.
Well, I think they were. There wasn't there
an actual one for Die Kitty Die number one.
Yeah, I was under the impression there was multiple Captain Canuck ones that kind of fill in the gap there.
Oh, all new classic Captain Canuck.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah. So that's getting a cover too. So that's kind of cool that they're coming. We're all getting Die Kitty Die from Chapter House.
Yep.
You all should go get and order Die Kitty Die from Chapter House. Go to Grey Guardian Games and say, please put this on my pull list.
I do believe, though, that the cover to the Die Kitty Die collected edition, which should be out very soon, I believe that's Darwin Cook's last work.
Yeah,
it's the last
Darwin Cook's cover,
and that's, I believe, it was the last thing he did. Yeah, was the Die Kitty Die trade paperback.
Now, we're still hoping for all those wonderful Guardian Angels that went to the Montreal Comic Con to send us a few of the Montreal Comic Con exclusive Die Kitty Die number one covers.
Oh, I got one of those. I'm getting it on Tuesday.
See? I went and asked somebody to get a bunch for everybody. Sam's getting one for himself.
I didn't actually.
Is that a Marvel guy or what?
What I'm going to say is I didn't even know I was getting one. I had a friend go. My friend Christine and her son Bodie went. I didn't even know they were there until they were there. And they picked me one up. I didn't ask for one. I didn't even know it was coming out. And then,
well, on that bombshell, I think we might play some credits and head out. What do you think? We got 2 minutes, but the boys are looking like they want to come in. Go, Chris.
One quick note. I was at Guardian Comics in Pickering.
Yeah.
And they just put out, I don't know, 10 long boxes of $2 books.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Marvel Bronze Age, so if you're looking to fill in some gaps like Hulk and Iron Man's and Captain America's.
I didn't know there was a Guardian. Is that?
That's the warehouse.
That's the warehouse that we were digging
in. Yeah, they've been there a long time.
Yeah, so Guardian
Comics. I
didn't
know that they were called Guardian Comics. Yeah. That's
Okay, well, I guess that's it for this week. Lots to talk about.
Lots to do about. It was a good show.
All right, guys, we'll see you next time. Later. Have fun.